Tuesday, November 18th, and it's great to see you back here. Welcome to Damon Bruce Plus. Thank you for joining me once again. Please hit like and subscribe. You hit that like button right here. More people are going to come to this video, so don't wait to the end of the video. Don't do it in the middle of the video. You tap that like button right here, and thank you so very, very much. We all know how this works, right? I think we do. Everyone understands what's going on here. We, as always, are brought to you by my man Ike. Delicious sandwiches at Ike's. I'm telling you. I see he's got his holiday sandwiches rolling out again. I'm not ready to talk about Christmas special sandwiches until we've had our Thanksgiving dinner. But it's coming, man. Holiday seasons are coming. Think of Ike's. Check out gift cards. It makes a great present. And I know a lot of people, you know, the night before, the day before these holidays, you don't want to do a lot of cooking. Let Ike's handle that with catering for you, your entire family. What's for dinner tonight? Sandwiches? Eh. Ike's sandwiches. Oh, okay. Okay, I had a dirty Reuben yesterday. Even documented that with a picture. I put it up on Twitter. Fantastic. It was delicious. Get yourself to Ike's. Our friends, Kenny and John at the Dubliner West Portal. Love those guys. Kenny and John, thank you so very much for your support of the Plus as well. Where are you going to watch the Warriors? Where are you going to watch a Sharks game tonight? Dubliner West Portal's got the best Guinness pull, a great neighborhood bar. You're going to love the Dubliner West Portal. I certainly do. And when you're thinking about going ahead and making a play or two around the world of, hey, going to make a little money on sports tonight? Check out Sleeper, because Sleeper right now will give you a $100 deposit match up to $100 when you use promo code Damon and use and click on the link that is right in the description of the top of this video. Winner, winner, chicken dinner last week for me on my parlay, because what I do just about every single time I play a Niners game is I take that Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown. A Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown is usually that first leg of the parlay to hit. I mean, honestly, this guy means everything to the 49ers. And like the thumbnail says, Kyle Shanahan will never in his career have a better weapon than this guy. Kyle Shanahan, again, has coached an MVP when he was an offensive coordinator in Atlanta in Matt Ryan. Shanahan has had a number of good players. He's got some Hall of Fame talent playing at tight end for him right now. But there is probably no player he will ever come across that is like Christian McCaffrey. And because of that, today, I want to talk a little bit about who he is and what he means and the almost level of criminality that a guy like him, because he plays running back, will never be considered for MVP. Because this is now a quarterback's conversation only for MVP. You know, that offensive player of the year felt like a safe out. Let's vote for offensive player of the year a couple years ago for Christian McCaffrey, because MVPs, that's just for quarterbacks. I honestly do not know. You know, of course, you look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes and there's no more important Kansas City Chief than he. You look at a guy like Lamar Jackson, man, you remove him from the Baltimore Ravens. They have that bad losing streak. He comes back. They've got a winning streak. There's no denying what he is. There's no denying the importance of Josh Allen to the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if any of them, though, and this is kind of what's unfair about that, is now we're talking about, I do want to compare Christian McCaffrey, who touches the ball some of the time, to somebody who's touching the ball all of the time. It's hard to compare a running back to a quarterback. Quarterback, of course, is the most important guy on the field, just based on all the decisions that he needs to make, all the choices. The offense operates on what he does. But at the same time, the 49ers offense operates around Christian McCaffrey, more so than it even does the quarterback. And we have run this experiment a couple of times now. You know, due to injury, we have seen this experiment where the quarterback is different, but McCaffrey remains. We have also seen the quarterback remains, but the running back is different. And the 49ers are worse off when they don't have Christian McCaffrey than their quarterback, whether that be Brock, whether that be Mac Jones, whether that be Jimmy G, whether that be Nick Mullins, whether that be CJ Beathard. You get a certain amount of quarterback play that you can kind of like count on. There is no one who does what Christian McCaffrey does. And I want to look at this, and I don't want to clobber you with stats here to make this argument. Just some observations, okay? I have always been a huge supporter of the instead of arguing what he does when he is out there, let's look at what the team is when he's not out there. One of the biggest MVP debates of my sports talk radio life was the validity of Steve Nash winning like back-to-back MVPs. Did Steve Nash really deserve back-to-back MVPs in the NBA? Like, the guy plays no defense. So how important is he really? And then you saw what the Suns looked like and what Amari Stoudemire was without him. And you're like, all right, you know, the MVP case for Steve Nash is easier to make with him off the floor sometimes than it is even with him on it. Look at Steph Curry, right? If you'd like to know about Steph Curry's MVP status, look at what he is when he's on the Warriors and look at what the Warriors are with Steph Curry, a contender. Without them, they are essentially the Charlotte Hornets. You know, I mean, they go from, hey, they can play with just about anybody in this league because Steph is playing tonight, to, oh, they're in a lot of trouble and cannot hang with the best at all without a guy like Steph Curry. That's how important he is. Christian McCaffrey's greatest strength is just this unprecedented all-purpose ability that he has. We talk about Shohei Ohtani, right, being such a unicorn. Who else in the history of baseball has done what he's done? Babe Ruth didn't even pitch and hit like this, so don't even give me Babe Ruth. Shohei Ohtani really isn't a 101. Now, every running back at some point is going to be thrown a football. Even running backs who don't have good hands get thrown footballs. So every single running back out there is always being evaluated a little bit, like not just how he runs the ball, but what does he do catching the ball? What is he as a target? That sort of thing. Well, no one even comes close to what this guy is. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, without catching a ball, could still be one of the best running backs in football. And without running the ball, he could be one of the best wide receivers in all of football. He does both equally well. I don't think there's one that really outweighs the other. What he means to this team in terms of percentage of touches, value to the offense, the way that he helps this passing game, it's hard to measure with just stats. Because the amount of attention that has to be paid to Christian McCaffrey being on the field is nothing short of 100% of attention. Your entire defense has to know where Christian McCaffrey is at all times, or you will lose to the San Francisco 49ers that day. How many running backs really represent that much of a threat, where you can stretch a defense and a defensive coordinator's mind in any way you want? You can go all the way out to the X. You can go all the way out to the Y. You can be the Z. You can be the slot. You can be, you're running with the ball. You're just a threat no matter where you are. Not a lot of guys are threats no matter where they are. He's one of only three players in NFL history to record 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in the same season. He did that in 2019. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's kind of on pace to do that again this year. Again, the Christian McCaffrey is washed crowd. There's a lot of people who do not know what they're talking about. I'm going to tell you right now, whatever you don't like about Christian McCaffrey this year, whatever has upset you about what he has or has not done, it's the offensive line. Christian McCaffrey, I don't think he's lost a step. Well, maybe, how about this? I'll even admit he's lost a half a step, but that half step lost isn't why he's not compiling bigger rushing statistics. It's the offensive line that's doing that to him. He can stretch you out anywhere. He can line up anywhere. And he can line up anywhere in a legitimate threat from anywhere. Not just candy corn. Not just eye candy. He holds the NFL record for the most games with both a rushing and receiving touchdown. So he will beat you both ways in the same game. And he's done it more times than any other player in the history of football. You want to talk about elite scrimmage yards? Look at what he is doing right now. He is the 49ers offense. I'm dead. Without him, where would they be? Without him, they're a three-win football team right now. Without Christian McCaffrey and all the circumstances that they're looking at, just a little health. And they might have you know, I don't want to say they'd be undefeated, but good God, I would have liked to have seen this team play one game completely healthy this year. We didn't get one of them. In 2023, McCaffrey was named the NFL Offensive Player of the Year. He led the league in scrimmage yards and in touchdowns on a way to a Super Bowl appearance. Unfortunately for Christian, he fumbled in that Super Bowl. That hurt. Without him, in 2024, how was defending that NFC crown? Did you have fun doing that without Christian McCaffrey while he is flying to Germany for bilateral Achilles tendonitis? Did the 49ers even remind you of the San Francisco 49ers? Did they even hearken to a team that was in a Super Bowl just a year ago? The answer is, oh my God, no, claw my eyes out. What are they without McCaffrey? They're lost. And this is with Jordan Mason actually doing a pretty damn good job, right? Jordan Mason at a point in time was leading the league in yards, rushing yards. But he doesn't also double as one of the best wide receivers. And again, what makes Kyle dangerous? Kyle is dangerous because his favorite Swiss Army knife can attack you from anywhere. What were the Niners without him? You know, with him, they're an offense to be reckoned with. Without him, offense is pulling teeth. Let's just talk about straight up wins and losses, man. Forget about yardage. What are you with this guy activated dress playing today? It's pretty simple. Christian McCaffrey's presence directly correlates with 49ers success, as his absence directly correlates with 49ers failure. Since being traded to the Niners in 2022, McCaffrey, again, the focal point of the offense, there's no doubt about that. And when he plays, the 49ers are 29-11. That's a 725 winning percentage. With McCaffrey, you're winning 75% of your games, basically. And without him, good luck with it. This guy, what he just did in week 11 over the Cardinals, scoring three touchdowns. One of them shouldn't have happened because it came way too late in the game and he shouldn't even been on the field. And I want to absolutely bring up something right here that was brought up early on in the chat from Ricky C. 1824 says, Damon, it is 35-16 with 5 minutes left and Shanahan is running McCaffrey. Is he trying to get him hurt when the game was already decided? What the heck did he trade for Brian Robinson? Amen. That alone is kind of why I wanted to do this video today. Because if Christian McCaffrey gets very hurt on a high leverage play, that will totally suck, but I will understand it. And at that point in time, your entire season is over. If Christian McCaffrey were to be hurt in a low leverage play in a game that was decided, I cannot wrap my mind around that. How could that possibly be available as an option to happen with a head coach who just does not understand, without this guy, I am totally fucked. And with this guy, we can play with anybody. Get your most valuable asset protected when you no longer need that asset to determine the outcome of a football game. Kyle Shanahan is so, like, every day playing with fire with Christian McCaffrey. I wouldn't even let Christian McCaffrey practice from here on out. You got too many guys getting hurt in practice. I wouldn't have Christian McCaffrey face a live tackle, but for game day. That's it. I wouldn't have him practice nothing more than a walkthrough. I wouldn't have anybody. I would actually clear out the locker to the left and the right of Christian McCaffrey just so nobody like coughs on him. Just so nobody accidentally steps on a toe. That's how important he is to the San Francisco 49ers. And there isn't another guy on this team that is that important. Trent Williams, because they have no other tackles that can play. By process of elimination, you could make an argument there. But that's it. 49ers have game against Team X. You can have Christian McCaffrey and any quarterback that plays for the Niners, or you can have Brock Purdy and any running back that plays for the Niners, but not Christian McCaffrey. I'm taking Mac Jones and McCaffrey. I think I'm taking Nick Mullins and McCaffrey. I am taking Jimmy Garoppolo and McCaffrey before I would say I'll take the option that comes with a maybe better quarterback, but no Christian McCaffrey, because Kyle can't run his offense without that chess piece. He can't. The team's 29-11 in games that he plays in. 29-11. While quarterbacks are, you know, by default, easy to see the value in, I think you can look over the course of three seasons. The course of three seasons to definitively prove who McCaffrey is, what he does to this team. Look at what I didn't mean to put that finger up. We'll go with these three. We won't go with the German three, like in Inglourious Bastards. We'll do this three. In 2023, he is unstoppable. The Niners are in the Super Bowl. In 2024, he is injured. He is mostly unavailable. And the 49ers are instantly forgotten about in terms of contending or being an important football team. He's back this year. And while everything else around him is going wrong, the Niners are as in the mix as you could want them to be. More in the mix than most would have thought, given the circumstances they played this entire year under. Most valuable, well, again, value, that's a tough word to define. It's a tough word to quantify. I determine it as this. Remove this one player from what you do. Can you still do what you do? I mean, I haven't seen Josh Allen hurt enough to even know who his backup is right now in Buffalo. I mean, if you showed it to me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I did know that. But I just can't think about it at the top of my head. He's always in there. So I really don't know what Buffalo looks like without Josh Allen. But, I've seen the Chiefs function without Mahomes for a small drive or two. Look, you can't make an argument negative to Patrick Mahomes and his importance. You just can't, and I won't. But I don't know if there's any player in this league who has more value to just the way a head coach comes up with a game plan to run his offense, or the player that the opposing defensive coordinator needs to worry about. I don't know if there's one quite like McCaffrey anywhere in this league. He's almost peerless in that regard. What is this? God damn it. Here we go with this bullshit. Marty, what are you looking at? Did someone force Marty to be here today? You cannot stop the 49ers. Maybe you do in the red zone. Again, that goes back to offensive line, I think, more than anything else. But you basically, with everything going wrong and everybody hurt, you cannot stop the 49ers offense. Why? Well, they've had a backup quarterback. They haven't had any of their starting wide receivers. They just got the kind of news on Brandon Ayuk that means you're not going to see Brandon Ayuk until you're waking up on Christmas morning. You know, you're not going to see Brandon Ayuk anytime soon. Ricky Pearsall, he shows back up in a game, no targets, no catches. Maybe he had one target, no catches. Great. George Kittle, he's very important. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. Christian McCaffrey is more important to the San Francisco 49ers today than Kyle Shanahan is. I definitely could get another guy in here to coach the team. I don't think you can get anybody else in here to play like that guy does. Oh, and by the way, I knew I was sort of familiar with it. Yeah, you're right, Carl. It is Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell. It is Mitch. And like everybody in Buffalo, you're praying you never see him. This guy is unbelievable. You know, we sort of start taking greatness for granted when we see it over and over again. I feel like this is a big part of the Steph Curry arc. I spent nearly 20 years on the radio. And Steph Curry has been around my radio show for an awful lot of those years. We didn't talk about Steph very much. He was just so taken for granted. Like, you'd appreciate him. You'd be like, this guy's incredible. Look at what he does. But you just didn't appreciate him all the time. Christian McCaffrey. I don't want that to happen to him. This guy's been with the 49ers for a handful of seasons. He's already the single greatest running back, I believe, in the history of their franchise. With all due respect to Frank Gore, you didn't have to worry about Frank Gore the way you need to worry about Christian McCaffrey. He dominates from multiple positions. He dominates as a running back. He dominates as a wide receiver. The level of disruptive force, it's unmatched in football. I don't think there's anybody who does what he does. So that's my case. That's my not too many numbers, not too many statistics thrown at you case for Christian McCaffrey. A couple weeks ago, I made the case that if you are a professional athlete, into your contract, you should have written private home security sets up at the end of your driveway on days you're playing a game. We've seen a string of athletes get their homes broken into while they're out playing games. Now, a lot of these athletes don't live on a normal block that anybody could drive up or down, like, you know, the houses that I'm guessing most of us live in here. Maybe a few of you are in gated communities. Congratulations to those who are. But all, I don't want to say all these athletes, but a lot of these athletes are living already in secured, gated, protected communities. And they're still getting their homes broken into on game day. I would have it in my contract that there is a folding chair with a security guard sitting at the end of my driveway while I'm out on the field playing for you. And you pay for it. Sunday for Shedeur Sanders got worse when he got home from his bad NFL debut. Saw this story creep out last night. It's on ESPN today. Approximately $200,000 in property was stolen from the home of Browns rookie quarterback Shedeur Sanders during a break-in on Sunday. Three suspects entered Sanders' home at around 6:46 p.m. Surveillance cameras captured them entering the home and then leaving the home about 12 minutes later with a bunch of his property. And in the past year, burglaries have taken place at the homes of multiple high-profile athletes, including Luka Doncic, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce. So it's not like, well, Shedeur got picked on because he's like a generally like kind of, you know, positioned to be unlikable guy. I mean, I got nothing against Shedeur Sanders. All I know, though, is that it's hard to catch sympathy for somebody who, without a doubt, has spent more than $200,000 on one trip to a jewelry store. Like, you're a kid who spent more money than most people will spend on, you know, a lifetime of cars on a brooch. You know what I mean? Like the Shedeur Sanders grew up rich. He drives Lamborghini. He's been rich since he's been a teenager, and $200,000 stolen from him probably wouldn't even been noticed. So I'm not worried that he's going to have trouble making it now, but anyone who gets their home broken into, that's such a violation, man. That's your castle. That's your space. And it doesn't have to be like you could live in the humblest of home in the world. When that's yours, it's your castle. So not only last Sunday did Shedeur Sanders make his NFL debut, where he went 4 of 16 for 47 yards, an interception, and two sacks. Oh. Not only did he do that, he gets home to find out we've been broken into. That sucks. Nobody deserves that. Seriously. Nobody deserves that. How do they know where they live? Optimist? It's got to be pretty easy to find out. I mean, you can. There's paper trails for everything, and there's ways to access public records and paper trails. And even if Shedeur Sanders is smart enough to have LLCs and shadow corporations or other names attached to all of his paperwork that you could find in any sort of legal, public, accessible information. I mean, you could do it the old-fashioned way, too. You don't have to be much of a sleuth to know where the Cleveland Browns practice facility is, know what car Shedeur Sanders drives, and follow him home. Stay back a few cars. Don't look like you're following. But yeah, I mean, you could pretty much find out where anybody lives if you can detect where they are at any moment in time and then just follow them. You know, everybody eventually goes home. Hope that Sanders throws for 400 against that Raiders defense. Hey, maybe he might be. Look, what if the Browns and Shedeur look awesome against Vegas? Like, is it fire Pete Carroll time then? Because all we're doing is waiting for fire Pete Carroll time. It's already been decided. He's got to go. Everybody knows it. He came in to instantly change the Raiders culture. Nothing of the such has happened. There's no future to be had in a coach at that age. Move on. Speaking of futures and coaches, did you see, by the way, this just shows you these people are not like us. They're just not like us. They're maniacs. They're fucking maniacs. James Franklin is returning to a college football sideline next year. It's already been decided. Virginia Tech has hired James Franklin to be its next head football coach, and he's formally going to be introduced in a news conference. Wednesday, tomorrow. Yeah, today's only Tuesday. Franklin was originally owed $49 million, and that was his buyout after being fired by Penn State. So he's got $49 million coming to him unless he goes out and gets another job. If you had $49 million coming to you, do you think you'd go back to work? I mean, eventually, yes. Of course I would. I'm going to tell you right now. If I were hitting a billion-dollar Powerball today, Damon Bruce went from Damon Bruce to billionaire Damon Bruce in one Powerball. It might be a few days before the YouTube video pops back up, but I'll be back. I'll be back. Every man needs to work. Every man needs something to do. Every man needs a task. Every man needs to do something. Every woman does. Everybody needs something to do. You can't be in, I am eternally on vacation. It just, you wouldn't be happy. You would not be happy. But if you told me that you got $49 million guaranteed dollars coming to you, getting back to work next season at Virginia Tech would not be on my list of things that I needed to do immediately. Now, I actually think that Virginia Tech and Franklin are kind of perfect for each other. He is a good coach. He's not a great coach. Virginia Tech is a good football school. There's no expectation of them having greatness. You know, when Virginia Tech, whether they're ranked or not, is scheduled against a top 10 football team, they're always expected to lose. Now, James Franklin can lose that game without everyone laughing at him every year that he does it. You know, you run into way too many top 10 football teams in the Big Ten, the ACC, a little bit easier. James Franklin can look a little bit better against ACC competition than he can Big Ten competition. James Franklin isn't a bad guy. He's not a bad coach. But he's terrible at knowing how to relax. Jesus, James, order a margarita. Go to a beach. Is James Franklin married? Is there a Mrs. Franklin? How is Mrs. Franklin not getting a vote here? So you're telling me, I'm guessing she calls him Jimmy. You're telling me, Jimmy, instead of going to Aruba, instead of going to a place in Tahiti that has thatched huts, sitting on emerald, crystal clear waters and bays. How are we going to Blacksburg, Virginia, instead of Bora Bora? 49 million reasons, James. He gets a $9 million settlement now from Penn State because he took this job in Blacksburg. I mean, it's that much a part of his identity. Where's Kiffin going? He's got to go to LSU or Florida. Like, I look, Ole Miss is cool. Ole Miss is cool. It really is. But there is so much. LSU is a flipping monster. That's a monster. That's as much major, big time college football, Death Valley, under the lights, game day atmosphere, unquantified. Like, LSU is an awesome, huge job. But you better win immediately. Florida is always this sleeping giant, right? I mean, the recruiting that you can get to Gainesville should mean Gainesville's a monster every year. But for whatever reason, Florida is not just this reloading monster year after year after year. And is it really that less of a... I mean, to me, Florida is a freaking monster. I would either go Florida or LSU if I'm Lane Kiffin. With no doubt. No doubt. Ole Miss, this was great. Thank you. Worked out well for me. Worked out well for you. But nothing is forever, certainly in college football. What says Patrick? Patrick says, that's a stupid man that doesn't want to be married anymore, obviously. Some people annoy me. Some people annoy me. Their work, Tara S, and I work 12 hours a day flooring. I don't know. Some people annoy me with work, Tara S. I don't know. Anyways, either way, yeah. Is James Franklin married? Let me look this up. I don't even know. Is James Franklin married? He is. Oh, she's beautiful. He's got two beautiful, healthy little daughters, too. Her name is Fumi. Fumi Franklin. Fumi. You didn't want to go to Barbados? Let me tell you what I would do. Let me tell you what I would do if I had money that went to infinity, which is, you know, I look at $49 million. I think that goes to infinity, right? So if you gave me $49 million, I am... I'm grabbing Jillian. I'm taking the two boys out of school. I let the city of San Francisco know my boys are going out of school for a year. We are traveling for a year. We are going to hit all the we are going to learn about the world in real time. I would take both my sons out of school and give them the single greatest education that the world can give them, on the greatest adventure of a lifetime that would take a year to go everywhere that we would want to go. And then we'd come back and we'd get back to normal. And then I'd just check them back both into school. I mean, my God, you could do whatever you want. You could give your family the greatest adventure. And here's the thing. I'm guessing that being a football coach is just an awesome job, and it's got a lot of dopamine involved, and you're addicted to it, right? If you told me, Damon, I got $49 million for you, and you can just throw it into greatest dad in the world mode like no one's ever even seen, that's all I would do. There's nothing I enjoy more than being with my boys and exposing them to things and watching their eyes light up as they see something for the first time. Right out here in my garage, the bottom floor of my home is an unfinished bottom floor. I can look right here into my garage. There's never a car in our garage. It's like workout equipment. It's where Jillian does her workouts, and I'm trying to do my workouts as I'm trying to be less of a fat ass. And so a car has never been pulled into our garage for a second. I'm looking into my garage to my left. That's why you hear the sliding door sometimes when I go. I got a sliding door. While we were on that trip, I would have this house built out because I don't need to live in a mansion. I don't. If I had $49 million, I wouldn't be moving to Sea Cliff. I love this home. I love raising the boys in this home. I want to keep them humble. So we would have this. We would we'd have it built out. We'd have some construction go on while we were gone traveling. Then we come back to a beautiful home. We go right back to our normal lives. But I would give those boys, because being a dad is great. I look at it this way. I love my job too. I love hanging out with you. I love being I guess I'm a freaking YouTuber now. I love being someone who hosts a daily show and is lucky enough to have an audience that continues to return and has spawned. Like, I'm so, so, so lucky. I never want to give it up. For my kids, forget it. I would walk away from all of you. We'd never see each other again. James Franklin, you got two beautiful daughters, your gorgeous wife. Why do you want to be in Virginia Tech in a locker room of sweaty dudes when that'll always be waiting there for you? You take 2 years off, James, and come on back. The Virginia Tech job can be yours whenever you want it. You know, a job like that. See, Michelle looked her up, right? You did. You looked her up. Seriously. Fumi, F-U-M-I, Fumi Franklin. She's beautiful. Guy's got a gorgeous family. I would so much rather spend time with my gorgeous family than in Virginia Tech at Blacksburg. Do what you got to do to live your life. These guys get addicted. They get addicted to their schedules. They get addicted to the dopamine release that comes with being a football coach. I'm convinced about it. Irwin wants y'all to hit like and subscribe. Irwin, thank you. I really appreciate that. Please hit that like, subscribe, notify. Come and hang out with us whenever we get to it. By the way, we'll be back at it tomorrow. I believe for our first time ever, in order to incorporate Sam, we got to go later in the day. I think our show is going to be at 3:00 tomorrow afternoon. I know we normally go at 11, but Sammy can't join me. I think we're going to go 3:00 tomorrow afternoon. I might reverse the decision on that. I've got some moving parts here, but tomorrow's show will either be at 11 West Coast time or 3:00 West Coast time. You've been warned in advance. Speaking of warned in advance news, Draymond Green has been warned in advance about what not to do in his next fan interaction. In New Orleans this past Sunday, Draymond bricked a couple layups and some fans started chanting Angel Reese at him. I guess Draymond originally, and he even admitted, quote, "It was a good joke at first, but you can't keep calling me a woman." The thing was, he wasn't calling you a woman. He was calling you Angel Reese. So, you know, he wasn't like comparing you to all women. He was comparing you specifically to one woman who specifically has trouble also hitting her layups. Anyways, Draymond has been warned that his interaction with that fan in New Orleans cannot happen again. He was not fined. He was not fined. And honestly, as far as confrontational player-fan interactions go, I got to tell you, when I saw it, oh my God, that went so much smashingly better than I ever assumed it would. You tell me like, oh, Draymond's on the internet right now. He did something with a fan. Like when I click on that video, I expect it to be bad. Like I expect it to be something bad's about to happen here, isn't it? No, it was just a talk, a little nose to nose. Hey, buddy. Draymond again said, "It was a good joke at first, but you can't keep calling me a woman." Green said in the post game, and he goes, "I got four kids, one on the way. You can't keep calling me." What are you telling me? Women can't have kids too? What do your children have to do with it? Your children have nothing to do with the fact that you got compared to Angel Reese. We know why that joke was. We know where it was born from. You do too, Draymond. Don't. This is not about gender. This is about bricked layups. The fan identified as Sam Green, a 35-year-old from New Orleans. He stood up when Draymond walked over to have a closer word. They interacted, ESPN story writes, they interacted without intervention for several seconds before official Courtney Kirkland finally broke it up. The fan was also given a warning, but not ejected. And again, Draymond has been given a warning, but not fined. And here's why Draymond isn't as smart as he thinks he is. And here's why. I'm convinced that I could get Draymond Green ejected. Like, I could defend Draymond Green better than anybody in the NBA. Like, Victor Wembanyama had that big block under. I could get Draymond Green thrown out of any game he's playing in under 3 minutes. There's no doubt. How many trips up and down the court will Draymond last would be the only question you would have if I were defending Draymond Green. He has literally signaled to us what the threads are to tug on. So the Warriors are in Orlando tonight. It's a 4 o'clock West Coast tip. The Warriors are in Orlando. How is the entire Orlando Magic crowd not chanting, "You're a woman, you're a woman, you're a woman," every single time he touches the ball? I would be chanting that as an entire arena the entire game. I would be chanting it in the warm-up lines. Angel Reese here. Angel, she's here. Even better. Angel, she's here. Draymond, why don't you literally show me the thread right there on your sweater. Show me the thread that I need to tug on to get you all hot and bothered. Thank you for having a press conference about it, you fucking dope. Hi, everybody. Let me tell you what gets under my skin faster than anything. Have you ever said that to anyone? Have you? Hi, let me tell you the fastest way to push my buttons. What are you, an idiot? I can't, like, how can you claim to have such a high basketball IQ when you're literally giving the tools to civilians to get under your skin? Every single person chanting, every single person sitting courtside, he comes over to you, be like, "Watch it, sweetheart. Don't chip a nail there, darling. Where's your purse tonight, Draymond?" I mean, how could any crowd treat him in any other way now that we know that that bothers him? Probably shouldn't have let us know it bothered you. Orlando, if look at it this way. Orlando, if you ain't cheating, if you aren't chanting "You're a woman" at Draymond tonight before the first TV timeout, what are you as a basketball crowd? I mean, no one's ever said Orlando's a great sports town. But, you know, like, why even sell tickets to come and be a home court advantage? What are you doing if you're not all up in Draymond shit tonight? Get the woman symbol. Get that woman symbol out. You know, the circle with the X. Get it. Or no, is the woman the arrow or the X? I can't even remember. I think it's the X. Come on. By the way, well, you know, I normally like to confirm something before I go ahead and promote it, but Red Jet's got her bona fides in here. I trust Red Jet. She says, "Hey, Bay Area heads, there is a holiday food drive today in Walnut Creek at Vinardi Zaruda." I have no idea what Vinardi Zaruda is. Is that a restaurant? Is that a store? Is that a bar? I don't know what that is. It's from 5:30 to 7:30, and Fred Warner's going to be there. Well, first of all, that's fantastic. Thank you for giving back to the community. I love that you are going ahead and volunteering for that Red Jet. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're just going out there to hang with Fred Warner. I don't know. But either way, if anyone can bring food drive to Vinardi Zaruda from 5:30 to 7:30 in Walnut Creek today, if any of you are in there, over there, consider dropping off some food for the food drive. By the way, you know, we love food. We've got our pal Ike's, who is a sponsor of the show. Our friend John from Uncle Boys reached out to me. He was just at the Union Street Ale House in the marina over the weekend when Bryant Young showed up and just started giving away merch. Bryant Young, like, crashed the Union Street Ale House, started just giving stuff away, and people came and just met Bryant Young, and it was pretty cool, right? Pretty cool. That's my man John of Uncle Boys. Oh, and here we go. Well, now we know. Vinardi Zaruda is an injury attorney firm. Fantastic. Good on them for giving back to the community. I love that. You know what would never happen in a game of hockey? At no point in time would any hockey player, after a game, have a press conference where they announced their biggest psychological weaknesses and how to inflame them. There's no way tonight Macklin Celebrini is going to be like, I really, really, really hate it when anyone calls me Mackie Mackie. You know, like, so please, whatever you do, don't call me Mackie Mackie. Because they'd be chanting Mackie Mackie at him in every NHL arena. Macklin Celebrini, just, you know, a handful of games removed from his rookie season, is smart enough to not do that. Draymond, you're old enough to not do that. Anyways, the Sharks are back at home, though. They will have the crowd on their side. Sharks back at home. It's the Utah Mammoth tonight. I like this. I'm going to get an early Warriors game because they're on the East Coast. So Warriors will go at 4 o'clock. And what, Sharks get going at 7? Perfect. Love that. I got sports on my TV all night long tonight. And we are absolutely,
I got to say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Hopping on that Sharks bandwagon. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Why not? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? So Utah, the Mammoth tonight. Kings, Senators, Bruins coming up on this homestand. I might even have to go to Uncle Boy's and get myself a burger and enjoy that one. Go Sharks. Absolutely. Hold on, wait a minute. We can't be talking about Sharks without saying, go Sharks. By the way, I have bought Sharks tickets for the boys. It's not until March. It's like a March 1st game against like Winnipeg or something like that. But we needed, Jillian and I needed a afternoon Sharks game on a Saturday. And we got one. That's the first one we could go to because we got flag football and other things. So we got to wait until March. I got Jack. I'm like, hey, Jack, we got Sharks tickets. He's like, oh, sweet. He really wants to go to his first hockey game. He's very excited. That's why we've been watching a little bit of hockey. He's getting excited about the sport. I'm getting him into it. And he's like, when are we going? I'm like, in March. The excitement quickly ran out of his face. But you got to wait. Got to be patient, kid. It'll happen. As it always happens, it's officially time for us to get to a little today in history. Is it not? Are you ready to come along with me through a journey through the past? Let's do it. Let's go. Thanks to everyone for being here today, by the way. Thank you for hitting like. Thank you for hitting like and subscribe. I do appreciate you very, very much. I got Joe here saying, Damon, love you so much better without Kruger. Well, Joe, thank you very much. I love Larry. I love working with Larry. Look at it this way. People are like, don't you hate it that Larry talks over you? No, let Larry say everything he wants to say. It's not like we got a commercial break. Time goes to infinity on the internet. I love working with Larry. That's my guy. But I'm glad that you like me over here. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I like broadcasting alone. Not all the time, not just alone. There are some people I enjoy it with. I like to do it frequently. Sam Batesh is one of them. Sam can't join me at 11 tomorrow, so maybe we'll go at 3 o'clock tomorrow, just a heads up, West Coast. And Kruger, I'm sad to say, I won't be doing a show with him this Friday. We won't be doing a Niner Wake Up because I'm traveling down to L.A. on Thursday. So we won't be doing a Friday show, and I'm already regretting skipping it because that's how much I enjoy working with Larry. Well, thank you. A great fencer needs an opponent at times. Thank you. Can you fence by yourself? Is there solo fencing? Is there like a solitaire fencing league that I don't think you can fence alone. What's this say? Wait till March. Damon, you can't even give those tickets out as Christmas gifts. I mean, is it tough to get Sharks tickets around Christmas? What are we saying? You can't give away Sharks? What are you talking about? Sharks get a good crowd still, don't they? I haven't heard about any problems about Sharks And with Sharks crowd, I mean, I know it's not the total sold out every game, but they were an awful, objectively made the choice to be a bad football team, or excuse me, hockey team to bottom out. But they still got, look at it this way. I'm going to be totally honest with you. Jack wants to watch a little hockey. Ozzy is just going to go for the shark head and the on ice shark projection that they do pregame. That's what he's going to love. If we make it through all three periods, I will be so proud of these boys. But I had no idea that like Sharks tickets all of a sudden were easy to come by. I hadn't heard that at all. Maybe I'm mistaken. But yeah, Julian. I almost called it Julian. Bruce, keep up the amazing work and dedication. And of course, your number one job being a great father. You're a role model to your boys. Much love, much respect. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, dude, I never in my 20s or even in my early 30s thought like, gonna be a dad. Can't wait to be a dad. Gotta be a dad one day. I thought if it happens, great. Won't I be lucky? If it doesn't, we'll work with that too. Becoming a dad is the single most rewarding thing of my life. And I've done a lot of rewarding things in my life. There is something about it that is the cherry on top of growing up that I don't think really, and you know, there's nothing that can replace that. You know, it's a big step in any man or woman's life to become a parent. And it changes everything. It really does. Anyway, are you ready for a little history? Here we officially go. We got happy birthdays, and I got some happy birthdays that I really like here. Happy birthday, Kevin Nealon, Saturday Night Live alumni, stand up. Kevin Nealon, now 72 years old. He wears it well, man. Kevin Nealon still looks really good for 72. Happy 57th birthday to Oscar Nunez. Oscar from The Office. The guy, a lot of the characters were just the names of the actual people. Oscar Nunez, 57 today. I wouldn't pretend to know him or tell you that I in any way talked to him. I met Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett in a hallway once. We spent a minute and a half talking to each other. He seemed like a pretty cool dude. He really did. I mean, if you know, first impression and 90-second conversation, man, Kirk Hammett seemed cool as hell. Happy 53rd birthday to Kirk Hammett. Happy birthday, 57 now. Owen Wilson. Oh, hey, man, Owen Wilson. Mike Epps turns 55 today. And Big Poppy, David Ortiz, 50 years old today. Happy birthday, David Ortiz. Oh, one more. The rapper, and I honestly don't know if he put out anything recently. I have not kept up on Fabulous, but Fabulous is 48 today. And I'm going to tell you right now, I really think that he, and what was he did it with Tamia, that song So Into You, is the best male-female rap duo maybe ever. You know, I know that there's a lot of Method Man, Mary J. Blige out there. I that's out there too. I know it, but I love that song. I do. So Into You by Tamia and Fabulous. I will go ahead and turn that song up every single time it's on. What kind of weed you be smoking? What kind of drink you be sipping? I mean, come on, that's a great song. That's a great song. I'm so into you now. We're not going to bring our problems from the 90s in the 2000s. It's good. It's a good song. Fabulous. It is. San Bruno Mike coming down. It's a banger. I'm telling you. A smooth bass line. That's the hook. Doom, 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 doom. See, Red Jet. This is why I'm your favorite asshole, isn't it? It's a great song. What kind of weed you be smoking? What kind of sip you be? What kind of drink you be sipping? Yeah, Damon serenading Jillian with "I'm So Into You." It was actually, it was our first song at our wedding. No, I'm just All right, we're going on. I don't know if we've ever had a date. No, I think we've done a few BCs. This is 401. In 401, what year was it? 401. The Visigoths, big day for the Visigoths today, led by King Arlic I. They crossed the Alps. They invaded northern Italy. The Visigoths are coming. All I can tell you is the Visigoths created such a ruckus that day. We still talk about them and still reference the Visigoths to this very day. At least your well-heeled friends do. Here we go. In 1307, I just talked about how great it is being a dad. Obviously, William Tell wasn't totally down with that because he shot an apple off of his son's head today. William Tell did that in 1307 with a bow and arrow. I'm not going to be shooting at my children at any point in time. In 1865, today, Mark Twain published in the New York Saturday Press his first short story that really put him on the map and made him famous, and that was The Celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. The Celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County, read it today. It's really good. 1883, today in 1883, Standard Time in the United States went into effect at noon for the first time ever. Do you realize that what time is it used to be decided by the town you were in and how the sun related to the town that you were in? Towns across the United States set their own times by observing the position of the sun as it related to them. So, you know, we can be in New York, or we can be in any state, drive 3 hours, still be in the same state, but have a totally different time. Yeah, I can see how that was pretty much unsustainable. Standard time. Glad they came up with that one. Can you imagine that? What time is it? I don't know. Let me squint into the sun and let you know. Today in 1902, a Brooklyn toy maker named Morris Mitchum named the teddy bear that he invented after Teddy Roosevelt, and that thing was so instantly popular that he founded the Ideal Novelty and Toy Company in 1907. 5 years later, the guy was selling teddy bears like no one else ever had. A big happy birthday, I guess, to Mickey Mouse. Thank God Disney and YouTube ended their bullshit. But today in 1928, Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse appeared in New York in Steamboat Willie. There you go. It was a big moment in time, right? Steamboat Willie. In 1949, today, hitting 342, Jackie Robinson was named National League MVP. There was something about him that was a little different than all the other MVPs that had come before him. In 1978, today, when you think of Indiana and when you think of the Bay Area, there's not a lot of correlation there, right? There's not a lot of in one place, in another, became famous. Kind of the lowest rung of fame available on the ladder of fame, but I held it there for a minute. Indiana, Bay Area, now you're famous, Damon Bruce. Indiana, Bay Area, now you're famous. Jonestown Massacre. Today, in 1978, in Guyana, 918 members of the People's Temple either were murdered or committed suicide under the leadership of cult leader Jim Jones, who might be the number one pick if we're drafting cult leaders. The bodies of over 400 of these victims, who had so many ties to the Bay Area. Jim Jones started in Indiana. He's like, oh, I can sell this nonsense and bullshit even better in hippy-dippy Northern California. There is a mass grave at the Evergreen Cemetery in Oakland, California, with 400 bodies of it from the Jonestown Massacre. This would become known as the Jonestown Massacre. It freaked everybody out. 1978 wasn't ready for that. Kool-Aid had to do an awful lot of PR after that. Yeah, his goofy church started in San Francisco. I think he's from Indiana, and then it came to San Francisco, but that's a weird dude, man. And goodbye. Okay, happier times in 1982 when today A Christmas Story was released in theaters. Christmas Story is phenomenal. Christmas Story is all that is right with Christmas holiday movies. And anyone who wants to claim to be offended at its ending when they make fun of how Chinese people drop their L's into R's when they go fa ra 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 ra. Fuck you. You must be a lot of fun at parties. That is good-natured, wholesome family. I can't even think of Christmas without A Christmas Story. We put it on for several hours of its 24-hour running. It's just great having. I enjoy Christmas Story on the TV during Christmas more than the Yule Log. Just shoot your eye out, kid. Fragile. Must be from France. Absolutely love that movie. It's supposed to take place in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Oh, no, they filmed it in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Let's see, what else today? Oh, something else, I guess, big. No, there are two other things that were big that happened on TV. Now, this is when Christmas Story was released in theaters. Now it's a TV classic. That came out in 1982. Today in 1985, guess who made his debut? Elmo on Sesame Street. Now, a lot of controversy. The guy who had his hand up Elmo might have had his hands a few other places he shouldn't have. That is to be hashed out by another YouTube channel. Elmo, that's undeniable, man. So Elmo hit right when I had a little sister who totally got into Elmo. Every kid I knew was into Elmo there. I was happy to be beyond Elmo to the point where when I was a young kid, Elmo bothered me. But now my kids, they're into Elmo. Kids love that shit. Like when you talk about like, we're going to introduce a new Muppet. Do you think it'll work or not? Elmo worked. But today, in 1992, and this is where we're ending today in history. Today in 1992, The Contest was on NBC. This is what TV Guide called the greatest half an hour in sitcom history. It is The Contest from Seinfeld, where Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer all bet on who can go the longest without being the master of their own domain. At no point in time is the word masturbation used in The Contest, which is what makes it so hysterical. That, and when Kramer goes out early, I'm out. he sees a naked woman for a moment. He disappears from the scene. He comes back. I'm out. Exactly. Right here. Look, I'm out. Joe, you knew where I was going. I'm out. And like that, I'm out. Thank you so very, very much for watching today. No contests were performed under the desk here. No contesting. No. Hopefully, while you were watching this, no one was running their own personal contest either. But hey, if I do it for you like that, you know, let's this double as my OnlyFans page, I guess. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for eating at Ike's. Thank you for betting on Sleeper. Thank you for drinking at the Dubliner West Portal. Thank you for hitting like and subscribe. And thank you for keeping an eye on the start of tomorrow's show. It'll either be normally at 11, like we always do, or it'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I can get together with Sam. We didn't have Sam last week, and I'm not going to be here doing shows on Tuesday or Thursday this week. And I don't want to go like 2 weeks in a row without hanging out with Sam. So I think we might do 3 o'clock West Coast time tomorrow. So that'll be a first. New things are good. Thank you so very, very much for watching. Your loyalty, it just means the world to me. And we see so many fantastic people back here over and over and over again. Thank you. Please do remember that if you want to get under Draymond Green's skin, call him a woman. Call him Angel Reese. And if everybody in Orlando doesn't do that tonight, why do you even sell tickets to the game, Orlando Magic? I can't believe Draymond gave that up. I really can't. Why would you tell everyone what annoys me the most? Doesn't make much sense. But anyway, I thank you for watching. Thank you for allowing me to annoy you. And please do remember, sports don't build character. McCaffrey should be the MVP. But sports don't build character. They reveal it, and like that, he is gone.